This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We went after CBS fairly strong yesterday. But then it grew even worse later in the day, where the news on Jeff Fager, as we said, Fager now out. And the reason, to me, is clear cut. Now, this is guy who's had a brilliant career, just like Les Moonves had a brilliant career and Charlie Rose, but he has now been facing allegations of inappropriate behavior while at CBS, including running 60 Minutes and also running the news department for a while. Jerika Duncan is one of their excellent reporters, and she's been on this story, Moonves, Rose, for a long time. And she's following up on various reports, including what the New Yorker put out there. So David Fager, who is a complete big shooter at CBS, texts Jerika Duncan. If you repeat these, again, Jeff Fager from CBS to a CBS reporter. If you repeat these false accusations without any of your own reporting to back this up, you'll be held responsible for harming me. Be careful. There are people who've lost their jobs trying to harm me. And if you pass on these damaging claims without your own reporting to back them up, that will become a serious problem. I'll repeat it again because I screwed it up. If you repeat these false accusations without any of your own reporting to back them up, you will be held responsible for harming me. Be careful. There are people who have lost their jobs trying to harm me. And if you pass on these damaging claims without your own reporting to back them up, that will become a serious problem. Yes or no, is that a threat? Because to me, that is 100% a threat. When one of the most powerful people at CBS News, when he is under siege and trying to hold on to his job, says that to a reporter. We all would agree. Lindsay's nodding. Adam, you're nodding too. Well, he's fired. He is fired on the same day that the president of CBS News, David Rhodes, had a meeting with huge numbers of individuals, including some of their top reporters. And here are some of the different comments. Sharon Alfonsi, longtime 60 Minutes correspondent. I think it's a terrible day for CBS News. I think it's awful. I don't understand how you get fired over a text message. Steve Croft, the text to Jerika Duncan was threatening and inappropriate. It's unfortunate. Everything about this situation saddens me. Bill Whitaker. Jeff Fager is a wonderful boss. So much of the magic CBS of 60 Minutes is because of him. He treats his staff as adults. He trusts his people. Turns out, when the news became further official yesterday, more than 60 members of the 60 Minutes staff, including the building security guard, had joined Fager for drinks nearby at one of their regular haunts. There's no denying that Jeff Fager had an amazing career and is respected by these people. And I don't know in the end how credible the reports were about him. But Adam, you first. I'm sorry. If you then challenge and threaten with a clear inference of a threat to one of your own reporters, be careful. You better not do that. And then he's like shocked that the text was misinterpreted. Give me a break. considering what has been going on in this country the last couple of years, what is going on at CBS, you send that out as a journalist to one of your fellow journalists, and you're surprised you get sanctioned? What a fraud. What do you think, Kurt?
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, it seems pretty clear that what was inferenced in that text, and I mean, I know when the situation hits close to home, fortunately, I haven't had to deal with it, but when it hits close to home, and if you're working with someone that you like and respect, and suddenly there are allegations, I don't know how I would react, but it continues to baffle me how people just seem to misread the situation and continue to do the things they do.
Lindsay, to me, again, it's just the powerful person who's been getting away with this for years, who clearly is so talented in what he does and thinking, okay, because of that, I can now send this to you and you're just going to push it aside, sweep it under the rug, and then we'll react to the reporting, but not us.
Well, and the really frustrating thing from my perspective, because I've actually been in this situation before where I've been treated poorly by someone who is considered to be my superior, is I think a lot of people don't think that there is a adequate way out. There's not adequate support in the office.
Yeah.
Whether it's human resources or a mentor to go to, I think a lot of people who have tried to deal with something within a company either have felt like it has fallen on deaf ears or it didn't go the way they wanted to, or you hear it all the time, that's above my pay grade. And yeah. I think it's sad that these people were put in this situation where they were bullied and threatened and didn't feel like they had anyone on their side. And the grand scheme of it, what it comes down to is people who are probably living paycheck to paycheck, are passionate about their careers, are hoping that is a jumping off point, and they just went with it because of fear of retribution.
But in this case, it's not – Jerika Duncan's not living paycheck to paycheck. She's very successful. She's getting paid a lot of money. But she still is seeing this guy who is highly accomplished, respected by many, beloved by some, and you're trying to determine, hey, what's going on? And then you're held to a standard. By the way, are you actually going to investigate your own outlet? When, by the way, we've had reports now come out for days that on the Moonves situation that CBS is conducting, it's going to be anonymous. So we're not going to know what really happened with Les Moonves. And now when they're investigating Fager, it's you better be careful. It's too bad that his career ends this way. He created the situation. Here's Adam. Adam, if there's one topic that the two of us know better than any, it's breastfeeding, right? We get called by Lindsay at an outlet, I think it was in Botswana, that called for either one of us to come on the other day talking breastfeeding. This one involves Jesse James Decker. Do we count her as one of us since she married one
sure.
of us, Mr. Decker? So she's taking all sorts of heat because there is a picture of her breastfeeding their youngest child while she is having a glass of wine or a cocktail. So while she's breastfeeding, she's giving kind of the peace, I'm happy, kid kind of tucked under the left arm, left hand holding the cocktail and the phone right there. And Decker had this to say when she was taking all sorts of heat about drinking this glass of wine while breastfeeding her son, Forrest Bradley. I honestly feel like I'm the voice of all moms. I definitely feel like they get heat for certain things. I know I'm a great mother. There's not one doubt in my mind. I then know that I take care of my babies. I know they feel loved and they feel happy. I don't have any nannies. I take care of my children. So if I want to have a cocktail to celebrate my husband doing something great in his work, I'm going to, and I can still breastfeed. Someone agrees with this 100% is going to join us at 2:35. Remember, we stumbled in this conversation with Dara a couple of years ago, and she's like, calm down. One glass of wine, you're hyperventilating. think about it for years when pregnant women would drink. And the overwhelming percentage of kids, nothing happened. Now, you know, when Kathleen was pregnant with our kids, she did not drink. I don't think she drank either during breastfeeding. I am not going to act like a doctor during this part of the conversation because we can find studies both ways. We can find them saying you're taking a risk, it's not worth it, what are you doing? And we can find others who will say if it's a small glass of wine or it's a small drink and it's not on a regular basis, the chances are minuscule. I don't think it surprises any of us, you jump in also, Lindsay, that there is the, this will shock us, that through social media there's hyperventilating and there's people freaking out. She's clearly confident. She believes she's a fantastic mother, and she knows it. If you're a famous person, and she's definitely a famous person, would you do it? Would you put the picture out there? Or would you just do it and say, you know what, it's just not worth the pushback. I'm going to do it. I'm going to feel like I'm not harming my kid, but I don't want to get caught up in the nonsense. What do you guys think?
I wouldn't do it. I mean, I have no problem if a pregnant woman wants to have one glass of wine or something. Although, I mean, if you want to, if it's unproven on the damage it can do, I mean, when it comes to your children, you know, I'd err on the side of caution. But I can totally understand how people feel, you know, look, it's not good, you know, having one glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's me. I mean, you know, a lot of people like to stir things up when they go online. So
sure. And I don't know Lindsay enough about, you know, her, how if she tries to bring it on a little bit and say, here's who I am. She clearly thinks she's fine. This, again, is breastfeeding. What do you think? Is it, it's all dependent upon the personality, right? I'm with Adam. I would be more inclined to, if you're going to do it, it's not worth the craziness that will ensue. Other people are like, bleep all you people. I don't care. I don't have a team with me. I'm doing it. I'm raising my kids. I know this isn't harming me, so I really don't give a damn what you think.
I think it is kind of in poor taste. And the only reason I say that is because there are so many uncertainties. And yes, I know that there are safety precautions you can take when you are drinking and breastfeeding to make sure that none of that is transferred to the child. But just the image itself, it's in poor taste that you're drinking alcohol as your child is attached to its food source. And I mean, I kind of think she knew what she was getting into. I mean, she's got a very consistent presence online. She has no problem posting photos or videos of herself, whether it's breastfeeding or in a bikini or anything like that. It's just kind of like, do you really think people weren't going to respond that way?
Yep.
And the unfortunate thing, and here's the thing, is she has built a community online. And she relies on that community to purchase her products, to subscribe to her blog, all of those things.
Right.
And in a sense, that comes with responsibility.
Yep. So I want feedback here through text and phone calls. So when you see somebody who does this, and she is selling a brand, she is selling a persona, her and her husband have a show, right? Shockingly, another, what show are they on? They're the Eric and Jesse, where do we even know what network it's on? I'll be honest. I
think it's on E.
E?
E or Bravo, but I'm leaning E.
Okay.
And it has been on for a while.
Right, multiple years. When you see this, what do you think? She's trying to get a reaction. Do you react to it? Are you pissed off? Are you infuriated? You're like, calm down. It's a simple glass. It's perspective. It's not a pattern. I want feedback because whether men or women will see this and have some sort of reaction. 81807, 81807, or a phone call, 651-989-9226. We get this text, this phone call a little too often, where somebody calls in and says, I don't want to go on the air. Adam, if they don't want to go in, it'd be a lot better just to text them. Right?
Correct.
You know, it's just, I'm glad you listen, but if you don't want to go on the air, Lindsay's involved in multiple activities here. It'd be better if you just don't call them. Okay. Among the texts coming in on Jesse James Decker and having a glass of wine while she's breastfeeding and saying, I'm phenomenal, I'm great, I don't care what you think. Glass of wine, don't care. Shooting heroin, do care. That's a hot take, Adam, right? You know, where do you stand? Pro or con on heroin?
Bad. Yeah, that's not good.
Not good. Celebrity women feel they are above reproach about everything, including announcing their unwed pregnancy. This is from one of our, she's admitted. She's an older listener who's very mad, by the way. This is the same text, very mad that we talk sports or carry games. I don't think every celebrity woman feels that way. I think that's a ridiculous stereotype. I think celebrity women are covered, and there are obviously conversations about it. I think there's plenty of unwed pregnancies in towns all across the world outside of, you know, people who are on television. Promotion only makes people pay attention. The problem with her pick and her philosophy is that not every mother does this responsibly. I recall people suggesting that I do the booze and snooze. Adam, isn't that one of your main philosophies for you during the week? The booze and snooze?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Chill people. Are the critics the same folks who have willingly aborted their child? Whatever happened to woman's right to do what she wants to with her body? Comparable situation, don't you think, Adam? It's just the same, right? This is just a person who you're entitled to your view. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about, of course. In 72, when we had our first baby, the nun who was the nurse told me to bring a couple beers to the hospital. She said it would help produce milk. Adam? That's your area of expertise, right? Producing milk with beer?
I've never heard that, but
I have not. All right, Dara, we talked about this before. I figured I'd end this with you. This is Jesse James Decker, music star, married to Eric Decker, went to the U. Had a good football career. What's that? You got it. Oh, what did you say?
I said music star is pushing it a little
bit. Yeah, correct. She took a picture while she's breastfeeding the child with a glass of wine, and a lot of people are all up in arms.
Oh, those people can jump in a lake.
Jump in a lake.
And when I had my baby and I had the lactation consultant come to the house because things were not going great.
Was that Adam?
That was not Adam. Okay. No.
Does it say that on your business card?
And
newsman, lactation consultant.
Illumination.
I thought you were saying that Adam was my child. I was like, this is confusing.
Wow,
I don't know what's going on here. She told me to have some Guinnesses. She said, have a Guinness, like, chill out, relax.
Yeah.
I am so against the constant policing of women. I'm here to tell you that Europeans were drinking nothing but alcohol in their water for thousands of years because the water was full of bacteria. If it was so horrible for women to drink, there would be no Europeans left. That is all I have to say. All the pilgrims were drinking.
Wow.
Get ready for your Thanksgiving.
Carter, how about that? Europe would be dead without
hot
beer.
Yeah. Hot
a number of people talking about beer, moms relaxing or producing, you know?
You couldn't drink the water for hundreds of years.
That's a problem.
You know, so people were drinking.
Great opportunity for Connecticut, too, Carter.
People were drinking from morning to night. And, it, you know, the fetal alcohol syndrome is real. And the amount of policing of women that has come from trying to prevent fetal alcohol syndrome is way disproportionate.
The amount of alcohol necessary, obviously, we're all, you know, it's another hot take here. We're against fetal alcohol. But the amount we're talking is idiotic in a comparison to a conversation of somebody having a small glass of wine while breastfeeding.
Absolutely.
Let's put it to scale.
Just nonsense.
Which lake should they jump into if there was a particular one?
I think they should jump into Bede Makuska.
Oh.
There you go.
Very good.
I can say that now. I will proudly.
Carter, are you comfortable saying that?
I thought it was Bede Makuska.
I thought it was Bede Makuska also.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. They should jump in Bede Makuska. They should learn how to pronounce it and then further jump in there.
Or just go with the president and say, Amamamus.
And now it's time for some Twin Cities culinary talk with two foodies. One actually knows what they're talking about. The other just does it to be pretentious.
What is the soup du jour?
It's the soup of the day.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Bringing her expert opinion, it's Minneapolis St. Paul food critic, Dara.
She's here. You know that by now. She has sent me a cavalcade of stories. Would you go to a non-alcoholic, very long, very star-studded dinner? I'd prefer if there was an adult beverage, but yes, I would do that.
I have been to, see, this makes me feel like some kind of alcoholic myself. But I've been to a few things that are, you know, like a three-hour dinner where you're just sitting there and
God,
sitting there.
Long,
like
long
it
time,
does
right?
Start to, I don't know, apparently I'm lowbrow, but it's interesting. There's obviously tons of people in sobriety, and, you know, I have some sober friends who come with me to dinner, and it's often very dismaying how lousy the non-alcoholic options are. I always think, restaurants, why are you leaving this money on the table? You could do something besides have, you know, water.
Well, that's good.
For
okay.
People.
I literally have never had a drop of a non-alcoholic beer. When we've had this craze of craft beers and all these different ideas, has that benefited in any way the non-alcoholic beers?
No, because it's a very expensive technology. There's only two ways to get alcohol out of beer. One is to centrifuge it, and the other is
nuclear weapons?
No, really. Like, yeah. It's not easy. And so that's why all the little microbreweries don't have non-alcoholic beer. Back to the pregnancy discussion, when I was pregnant, I did have some non-alcoholic beers, and they were fine. They were kind of like, what was my favorite one? I think it was called Hockebeck. It was the non-alcoholic Beck's, but it was, they're...
Just okay.
It's like as, you know, white toast is to all bread, Hockebeck is to all beers. Kind of like, well, this is standard.
There goes that sponsorship here for the show. All right, another list here, the 50 Best Restaurant Awards. Do we have too many of these?
We definitely have too many of these. And so Marco Pierre White is one of the, I think he was the first rock star chef. That idea is so cliched and hackneyed now. Anyway, but he's opening a restaurant in Hong Kong, and he's basically saying, everybody, don't come. I don't want Michelin inspectors. I don't want people from these lists. Like, I don't want to play in your stupid games.
Oh.
And it's kind of like Marlon Brando, you know, refusing the Oscar.
Yeah.
I like it. I wish that more people would do this.
So you have to be fairly established before you're saying it, right?
They don't even come to Minneapolis, so everybody here could just be like, no Michelin inspectors, please, and it wouldn't matter.
Do they ever come here to look at a place?
No, we are not rated. The closest rated city is Chicago. So it's like Chicago, San Francisco, and then we're just skipped over.
So if we had just some brilliant, amazing place and there was tremendous word of mouth throughout the country, would they come or would they?
No, they have to make a decision to add a whole city.
Oh, okay.
And then they send inspectors.
Well, thanks
a
lot.
Yeah, exactly. Fly over country. Go jump at a tire, Michelin.
Mort's is called the second best restaurant.
I thought this is so funny. So,
on Yelp.
You know, I was kind of thinking, well, you know, if I'm going to be trashing critics, we should think about what is the opposite. So I've actually never looked before today. I went and hopped over to Yelp and looked at the top restaurants. It's very amusing. It's just the top restaurants in Minneapolis are just wherever people are drinking on Lindale Avenue. So it's Mort's. It's also this thing called Hasty Tasty, which is pretty terrible. It's on the corner of Lake and Lindale. And these are all in the top 50. But Mort's as number two I thought was quite amusing.
Because I think of Mort's as the deli.
No, it's Mortimer's. So like that bar that's between the wedge and the corner.
Okay. Oh, I've been there.
You know,
yeah.
So yeah.
That's not the second best place in town. It's fine.
Yeah, it was taken over by the chef from Nightingale, and it has better stuff. But I mean, it's not, you know, it's a five beers and make trouble bar. It's not
exact. And you play foosball. That's where everyone in Uptown goes to play foosball.
Overrated foosball. Ping pong, so much better.
Ping pong.
Oh.
That requires some skill. I mean, the foosball, you can't, it's really hard to
foosball
lose that ball.
Does. Yeah, I just, see, and I'm going to say Mort's Deli. Eh.
Well, it's also not in the top 50. Mort's Deli out in Golden Valley. Yeah.
Disheartening. I don't think it's very good.
It opened kind of stronger than it is now. It's glided its way to a middle C.
Yeah, at its best. Okay, Nighthawks. What's going on with Nighthawks?
Oh, it's being taken over. It's been in flux. Remember the wonderful chef, Landon Schoenfeld? He left town. You follow him on Instagram now. It's as close as you're going to get. So he left, and then it was kind of in limbo, and then it was kind of being run by Kim Bartman, and now it was just kind of being neglected. It was a mess. And now it's being taken over by Max Thompson, and he runs this little place over by St. Thomas, which I've just loved very much. It's called Stewart's. It's just underground. It's the old 128 space.
Oh, okay. The space. I don't know the place.
Yeah, it's just a charming. It's like the best grilled cheese in the cities, which is, I mean, really? A lot of grilled cheeses in my life. Yeah, it's like, you know,
okay,
$8.
What? Let's talk this. What makes a great grilled cheese?
Well, this one, he goes the extra mile with like all the chef-y touches. So he makes his own aioli, and he wipes it on the bread, and then he's got two kinds of cheeses in there, and all it's like it comes, and the thing is so crisp on the outside, and it's so melty on the inside. And it's that thing where, you know, you just kind of, like, you can't hear anymore. It's so good. You're like, oh, there's a thing is happening. Wait, it's grilled cheese.
Are we back to the dolphin here now? Oh.
We're never leaving the dolphin.
Yeah.
Thanks to the nice lady who called in to tell me about whale sharks.
I love good grilled cheeses. I like them both. I like the traditional, right? But if they want to la-di-da it up, you know, and add some different things.
I don't like it when people put things in the grilled cheese that are too, like, that apple slice grilled cheese. I don't like that.
No.
I don't, like, get your sun-dried tomatoes away from my grilled cheese. That is a nasty texture.
I don't mind, Lindsay, yay or nay, I don't mind an occasional tomato.
I like tomato, but not sun-dried tomatoes. Because a sun-dried one, you know, they get kind of leathery.
Yeah, right,
and that is, I'm not there for that.
Avocado?
In a grilled cheese?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever had that, but I'm not against it, you know, conceptually.
What else, Lindsay?
Bacon.
I'm trying to pull
cheese.
Up. Where is it?
All-time great grilled cheeses?
I've had some green olive in a grilled cheese. That's a good thing. I like that very much.
Which olive do you like better, green or black?
Oh, I love all olives.
That's not a question. Which one do you like better?
Well, green. Green or the, well, there's so many. There's the little tiny Niçoise, and then there's the black olives.
The correct answer is black. I mean, let's just get to it. The correct answer is black. Black olive better than green.
I always have a couple of cans of black olives in the house.
See?
And
thank
then
you.
My kid puts one on each finger, and I think that is fantastic. All children should spend some amount of their childhood walking around the house
walking
with
around olives.
I used to do that with Bugles.
Yeah. Oh, Bugles.
Our
underrated.
Neighborhood spot.
Oh, I love Bugles.
Pub 42 has this grilled cheese. It's called the Tree Hugger. Melted white cheddar and Swiss cheese with avocado, scallions, diced tomato, and sunflower seeds on sweet cream buttered whole wheat bread.
Yeah,
I was there
until the sunflower seeds. Really?
Oh, it's so good.
Aren't they just like little minefields?
See, I think her town, which is a rival of my town, Golden Valley, clearly is better than Crystal. It's a rival, but Crystal has Milton's.
Well, you're getting the new Asian restaurant.
I know.
Lat 14.
We're going to get to that. Oh. But it has Milton's, which is tremendous. Is one of the two or three most underrated places in town. And a Pub 42 is good. Have you been to either one?
No, I have not.
Let's go. Come on out.
Where is Fat Nat's Eggs? Where is that?
That's New Hope.
It's across the border.
Yeah, right? It's another rival.
It is. No lie. So I live like 100 feet into Crystal. That's how close it's
what's the address in case anybody
not
wants.
Giving out my address. You would love Milton's, literally from everything from food to the environment.
I love it.
I love Fat Nats. That's a good
Fat Nats is good.
You guys share custody of New Hope, or how does that work?
It's another city that's trying to be Golden Valley. You know, I mean, you know, Crystal, New Hope, both are aspiring. You know, they're trying. They're the little engine that could. You know, I mean, you're good try. You're not Golden Valley. 2:49. That is the Lindis Construction time check. Time to make your home energy efficient with Season Guard windows. We got about five more with Dara, her regular show, Off the Menu, Saturdays, 11 a.m. Okay, the place in St. Paul, Keg and Case. Let's talk about it. You've touted it for a while.
Open tomorrow, finally. West 7th, the old Schmidt Brewery. It's happening. Tonight is the media party, so maybe if you're...
Nope.
They didn't invite you.
Get an invite, Keg and Case? Nothing. Nothing.
You can use mine. Because I will be doing something else.
La-di-da.
But I'm very excited about it. I went and I wrote up the new brewery, Clutch, which is upstairs. Very cool place. It's very sexy looking. It's got a balcony that wraps around this whole kind of just big empty brick space. Then you can have beer up there. You can bring food from up. There's a pizza slice place. There's a Bogart's Donuts. There's a Sweet Science Ice Cream, which is one of my favorite ice cream shops. Just a bunch of things. So it's about 20, 25 places on the ground level.
Good.
Food court. Yeah, it's either going to be completely awesome or, it won't be. It's a lot of, they put a lot of money into this. And so it looks a little crowded right now. I walked around. I was like, oh, I don't know how we're going to fit, a couple hundred people a day in here. But we'll see. That could have just been my impression with construction ladders and all the hallways.
Okay, so let's talk about the place in Golden Valley.
Lat 14. Yeah, okay. So they redid a Perkins, and it's the second restaurant from one of my favorite places that we don't talk about ever, up in Brooklyn Park. Lemongrass Thai cuisine is delicious, and they've been saving their pennies.
Good.
Oh, it's so good. It's really one of the best Thai places in town.
I love Thai food. I lost a good Thai place not too far from me in Plymouth, which, it's Chainapalooza.
It's right by that golf course. You would know.
I know where you're talking. Yeah.
They've been saving their pennies and, put them all into this new snazzy place. And it looks promising. It's going to open in a couple days. And you might have one of the best Asian restaurants in town.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. My town. I like that. Okay. Let's finish with 2 minutes ago because I also want to get a preview of your show Saturday. Kind of a wrap up on the fair. So when you think of the fair this year, what do you think of?
I hate to be a buzzkill, and I hope nobody's listening, but I didn't think this was the strongest year.
It's a buzzkill if nobody's listening.
I mean, if nobody from the fair is listening. Yeah. I thought it was kind of a weak year, to be perfectly honest.
Okay.
I thought that a lot of the foods on the quote-unquote approved list, and so, what happens is all the vendors submit their foods, and then the grand poobahs of the fair say, you're on, this is rejected, this is on, this is rejected, and they can make their rejected
foods.
Who
are these people?
They're the fair administrators. There's a grand czar of foods and then a committee. And I really feel like the committee was way too conservative this year. We ended up with all of these kind of baked goods. Everything was very sweet baked goods. Certain things that were, made my top five list, something like the Birchwood BLT, rejected. I loved that.
Oh,
and they
I did
didn't.
Too.
They, apparently, the state fair thought too much bacon this year. No bacon. It was a. I did not
judge it on its own. I mean, just because we've had a bacon obsession other years, some of it way too far, doesn't mean you should say, well, this next thing that is just a quintessential, fantastic BLT doesn't qualify.
I feel like they really were trying to push the fair vendors in a classy direction. And that's why we ended up with the ceviche and poke tuna and all the stuff that really just
I want to
didn't
be on this.
Fit at
Lindsay,
all.
Two of us, let's get this done. We should be. John Williams, out of nowhere, decided he wanted to be on the Super Bowl committee.
And did he?
No, they didn't. They didn't give him. I don't think they gave him a second thought. But John said, "I want to be in the Super Bowl committee."
Maybe we just make our own shadow committee, and people can submit things.
Let's
do
that. Saturday, you're on
live in River Falls, Wisconsin, for Bacon Bash. It's going to be so fun. I cannot wait. Everybody's got to come. It's free. Nation's largest free bacon event.
Bacon is phenomenal.
It is.
It is, and so is that Birchwood BLT.
Yeah.
Bring me some back, and then we'll have some of that bacon 5 days
later. I will
fill
my pockets full of bacon for you.
Well, see if the dolphin likes the bacon. Maybe that'll be another part of the story. We got to go. See ya.
See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.